This week on the show, we're talking about the rave reviews that Can has been receiving and my experience of the game so far. Checking in on our fantasy critic draft that we did last week. There's been some movement there. Recapping the latest on Tomodachi Life, Living the Dream. Getting updated on the latest PlayStation handheld rumors. And reacting to the news that GTA might not receive a physical edition at launch. That's all to come. I'm your host, Ewan, and I'm joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, James.
Hello.
And Shannon.
Howdy.
This is the Pressed Up Podcast, our weekly video game discussion podcast. Let's get on with the show. And I want to start firstly by talking about Can, a game that I've been playing and I'm frankly a little obsessed with. It got some amazing reviews as well that I'm no doubt you sure saw during the week. James, first to you, do you have any interest in playing this game at all now that it's kind of getting such positive criticism?
It was a favorite amongst the team pre-release, that's for sure. I know.
Well, you're being sarcastic, right? Because I feel like we were all very skeptical of this game.
No. I wasn't, to be fair, like, it didn't look bad. It was just like, they were like, this is in-engine footage. And then they like cut to like the most technically unimpressive game. And I was like, that, like... Like, I don't care about graphics, right? But it's like, I didn't have a problem, like, trouble believing it was in-engine. And then, obviously, it was a bit rough. But that's fine. I'm happy to hear it is meant to be good. It's on my radar now. It never was before, admittedly.
Yeah.
What I was going to ask you, Ewan, is it just climbing? Like, sell it to me.
It's not. And so that's sort of, I guess, like what surprised me too, because I thought it was very much just like a climbing sim, and kind of any storytelling it had on top of that would have been pretty surface level. But I've been surprised at just how narrative driven it is. Like, don't get me wrong, like the core gameplay loop is still very much climbing cliff faces. It plays a little bit like, I mean, Octopath Traveler is the wrong parallel to draw, but it controls in that you're kind of like moving one limb at a time. And so you're kind of cycling between your analog stick, kind of placing your left hand, your right hand, foot, right foot. But it makes kind of every cliff face kind of feel a bit like a puzzle. And you're constantly trying to kind of just edge your center of gravity kind of further and further up the wall. But there's more to it than that. Like, there's kind of... you've got to kind of like scavenge and collect resources. There's a survival element to it. You're making recipes like kind of in Breath of the Wild. Like, sometimes you'll need certain ingredients to kind of help you keep warm, that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm really surprised at just how like narrative driven it is. Like, it's frequently kind of stopping to kind of introduce like a new story beat. You're learning more about like the lead character and kind of her motivations for embarking on this kind of treacherous solo adventure. And like, some of the themes are quite interesting. Like, it really seems to be kind of like delving into isolation and kind of like the pros and cons of maybe kind of taking time out for yourself and reconnecting with nature, but then like how that kind of frays your relationships and like neglecting the people you kind of leave behind, shirking your responsibilities, that kind of thing. So I was amazed at the depth of it. And I think, you know, whilst you said, James, it didn't look hugely technically impressive, when you're kind
Which is fine.
It's just to be clear, I think the way it was phrased was like, you would have believed that it was in-engine footage.
Yeah.
It's not like kind of Unreal 5 showstopper. Like, don't get me wrong. It's, I think it's a really beautiful kind of cel-shaded art style. Like, the way there's like environmental storytelling to it and the kind of pace of the game also reminds me a lot of Journey. Like, it's kind of got that, like, it's less about the destination, more about the, for lack of a better term, journey that you go on. And it's just gorgeous. And like, I'm pretty content just like, you know, climbing up this cliff face right as this kind of score like chimes in. Early contender for soundtrack of the year, I would say.
It's also interesting because you criticize Zelda for being so much about climbing.
But Zelda is just shuffling up a service while you watch your energy bar deplete. Like, this is, you have to be very careful about your placement of your hands and legs and like making sure you're not kind of leaning too far back on an overhang. I'm really glad I've been bouldering once because I feel the game does not hold your hand at all. Like, it very much throws you in and lets you kind of have to learn the hard way, which was a little difficult at first. I got stuck in this one section where I was like out of food. I was like halfway up a cliff face. I just like there was, I just felt like stuck in this cycle, and I didn't know how I was going to get out of it. And that sometimes like works and is balanced really well and sets up like these very kind of tense moments. Other times I was like, I feel like I should have known that there was, I was going to be really skint on resources at this point in time, but you can turn survival right off. So I've done that in one moment where I felt a little bit stuck, just turn survival off while I pushed through to a section and kind of got some more food. But yeah, I think it's, there are kind of difficulty settings if it is feeling a little arduous, but the challenge is part of it. Like the puzzle solving, I guess, of like trying to find your way up an escarpment. Escarpment, up a cliff. But yeah, hopefully that's convinced you to at least check it out and give it a go. It is, I also get the sense it's not like a long game. I'm yet to finish it, but genuinely,
it
kind
of,
like,
it really came out of nowhere.
Thinking about the game, like, I wonder if I just try this on this wall, I'll get up there, and I'm doing that. Sorry, Shannon, I cut you off.
No, it really came out of nowhere. I don't know. Like, I obviously knew about the game from the moment James... I don't know. It just, yeah, a little bit.
It was like June last year, wasn't it? It was like a... yeah, I don't know.
Anyway,
yeah, like we've been, it comes
it
up in every
not
chat.
Not out of nowhere
have.
Necessarily, but it's yeah, definitely like, not on my radar. It was
I just
like
think, yeah, that's what I mean. For like someone who's been so aware of this game, it really just appeared out of nowhere.
Like, oh, it's here now. Oh, people like it.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Unbelievable. I can't believe it's running on current gen consoles.
Yeah, it's, no, I'm it's on Switch at the moment, which is a little unfortunate.
No, and
like
Xbox?
Be right at home
it's
now.
just PS5
PC and PS5
at the moment.
Is
yeah,
it? Okay,
I'm.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff, and I'm keen. It looks like a relaxing game, but yeah, it does. Did just like,
is it relaxing?
It made me
or
wonder
is it,
what the difference
it,
is.
It is. It is at times. You kind of do get into like a zen state, and it is a bit. It does have like kind of like a cozy sort of vibe to it, particularly because the soundtrack's like so good, and just like the serenity of the world at times. But then you're like, ah, fuck! I am dying of thirst, and running low on food. This is suddenly
that,
not
yeah,
so zen.
No, that no.
But it's kind of it's for the most part. There was again one moment where I feel like I was a little under resourced, but for the most part, you're kind of getting enough stuff that you're not so stressed about that. But certainly, if you're like third, fourth attempt at a wall, and you're like, ooh, like how much do I commit to this, giving this a go, or do I try and find another route to take, that kind of thing. But you'll find maps that kind of like tell you which are the easier route to go, stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give it a go. It's really on, cool. Is it on PC Game Pass? I feel like it is.
I don't think it is. I think I tried to check that. Maybe I'll look that up in a moment, but yeah,
okay.
I bought it on Steam, not thinking it was available in Game Pass. Anyhow, I'll probably write up a review for it at some point. I don't know if anyone else on the team is playing it, but I must be getting pretty close to the end, so I will get to that and put a score to it. But for the now, powering through it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, enough of that. James, you've also been busy playing video games in the past week and submitted a review for Code Vein 2. What did you score that and why?
I think I gave it a 7 in the end. Mm-hmm. Let me just confirm. That feels like a long time
ago.
Yeah. But was it? Yeah. Okay.
You like, gave it a 7. Yeah.
I gave it a 7. And yeah, it's fine. It's not. Look, it's not a disaster. It's not for me. That's for sure. I like Dark Souls-y games. But I also am a little bit tired of them. And this feels like. This feels like another Dark Souls game. And I feel like the first game had a lot of uniqueness to it in that, I mean, the actual bits that it was like stealing from, like you basically, it's like anime inspired vampires, but Dark Souls, that was like the first game. This game is basically that again, but with like a bigger open world and a little bit more emphasis on exploration and such. But I just don't think it does anything like miraculously different to the last game, and it's been 6 years, and I feel like that genre has been saturated a lot in the time since then. So yeah, like it's fine. I think if you want like another Souls, like go for it. Like I think you're still going to enjoy it and stuff, especially if you liked the first Code Vein. Although I am reading around, like a lot of people who really like the first one don't like this. So it's just really hard. It sounds like they changed a lot. The big thing that I mentioned in my review was I played the first game because me and a mate just messed around in it, and we didn't laugh at how bad it was, but just like it, you know how like there are games that are just like elevated by playing them with somebody. Like,
yeah.
In a, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I mean,
Lord of the Fallen was that.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. They're not really great games, but just messing around with a friend is enough to kind of get you through. Resi 6 is actually the same, where, like, the game is just average, but the banter and shit with your friends makes it good. So that's gone in this. There's no multiplayer in Code Vein 2, which I think is like a really missed opportunity, because I think a lot of people would have gotten into the first one because of that.
Yeah.
And it's been replaced by this like NPC system where you kind of can earn companions by going back in time to save them, and then they fight alongside you. And one cool thing about Code Vein 2 is you can actually merge those people into you, so then you have better power, so like, or you can like let them fight alongside you, so you have like two different ways to kind of fight in that way. Like if you want like a burst of power to finish off a boss, sometimes it is good to just like merge with that person and then just like attack the boss that way, but then if you want them to maybe be distracted by the other person, it's better to split the people, if that makes sense. So yeah, like it's fine. I didn't hate it. I could see mechanically it was fine, like, so that's why I didn't go too much lower. But yeah, I don't know. Okay. I just think, like, so, I think if you want to be a Souls-like now, there's going to be something new and, like, different to it. And I just don't think this did enough.
It sounds like that's its real kind of struggle, is that it's seeing a saturated sort of market and not really injecting much new or having a kind of a distinct personality.
It's also, like, and visually, like, the original game was, like, very black and red, and this has kind of pivoted to this kind of white and gold look, and I get the vibe, but, like, to me, the dark kind of, you know, stereotypical vibe of the first game fit a bit better.
Yeah.
I also feel like Unreal Engine 5, even with anime-styled graphics, they all look the same now as well. Like, I think we're getting dangerously to that point. I worry a bit about that. I just don't think it looks interesting, and... Yeah, the first game just did a lot of cool things and you could see the potential, and I don't think it's really lived up to that potential 6 years on, is kind of the easiest way to summarize it. Yeah.
You've made that observation a couple of times about Unreal Engine now. I feel like you're increasingly more,
like,
suspect
what?
On it.
Can you name another game? Like, I don't know. I've said it. I think I said it about...
what you were talking about, but like you seem thoroughly unconvinced that Unreal Engine is like the kind of marketing like buzzword that it... Or
do
maybe
you...
that's all it
but
is. But
every fucking remake these days is announced like, oh, it's an Unreal Engine 5 remake. And then you look at it and it like looks... they all look the same. Like it's Oblivion. Was Oblivion 1? I'm pretty sure that was. Like, there are some yes. exceptions. Like Silent Hill F was Unreal Engine 5, and that had the art direction to kind of get it over that line of being the same looking as everything else. And I'm playing something else right now that I can't talk about that also is like that. That if you've got really strong art direction, I think you can get through it, but to me, like, a lot of people don't do that. They just use that, you know, the same tech and the same lighting, and it just means everything looks the fucking same. And
just leave all the default settings on.
Yeah, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you're just using the engine out of the box. And I get game development is expensive, but like, I don't know, man. Like,
do better, says James.
I lived through this for, like, I don't know if you guys remember, but during Xbox 360 time when, like, Gears of War came out, and then that was, I think, Unreal Engine 3, right? Like, I feel like all those games had that look then too, because everyone was using UE3, and I feel like we're back there, which is, like, fine, but, yeah. I just think, hopefully, even, like, shortly. I think Tails, I've got a feeling Tails was an Unreal Engine game as well. Like, it's Japanese RPGs, and that looks the same as this, and I don't know. I don't know, man.
I'm going to have to do some side-by-sides. I'm curious. I can't say I've picked up on anything, but I do still feel like that there is some merit to to what you're saying. So, I want to do some side-by-sides and compare and see what you're seeing.
Like Black Myth. Black Myth, Hellblade, First Descendant, Ark Survival Ascended. Like, you look at these games together, like, look at their, like, say, I don't know, their green biome, like, their foresty biome, and those games all look the same. Like, it's just shit. I feel like we can do better.
Vibes as well. I don't, I guess I'm not convinced that so much, like, the consequence of them using the same sort of engine as it is just kind of, I don't know, kind of imitation and kind of trying to achieve the same sort of stylized fantasy setting, maybe. But I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe you're right. You often are, so who am I to
Claire,
tell you?
Claire Obscura is another good example. Like, I feel like that still looks quite... That has a... That, I can see, like a twinkle of the thing I'm talking about there, but the art direction, again, and the lighting systems save it.
Adds enough
bit.
Of a layer on top of it. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Anyway.
Anyhow. I'm glad that I didn't pick Code Vein 2 for my fancy critic. It wouldn't have netted me a whole heap of points if your review was anything to go by. But speaking of our fancy critic, I did notice there had been a couple of little changes after we did our draft last week. Did want to encourage people to go back and listen to that episode if they missed it. Basically, like, it's us kind of trying to pick what we think are going to be the best games of the year as, like, kind of stand-in for a fancy football sort of thing. We're kind of impersonating or taking on the role of a publisher, trying to pick what are going to be the best games of the year as reviewed by critics on OpenCritic and net the most points that way. So we did our draft last week, picked 6 games each, but Brody's gone and added a couple of games to his list. I think he picked up, replaced, and 007 First Light. Shannon, what do you make of these couple of picks that Brody sneakily picked up?
He is very sneaky, isn't he? While no one else was thinking.
I will say, this is gone... like all within the rules. You are allowed to do this. We have to pick up
it's
games
like just a bit.
Year.
Can
you
I also
need 12 in the end?
Can I say, if you look at the timestamps, he literally 20 minutes after we recorded picked these 2 games up. And it's like,
I suspected he was going to do it as well. I should have just tried to sabotage him somehow.
Well, if anyone was going to do it, it was Brody, wasn't it?
What does that mean?
Well, that he just loves this shit. I mean, I don't know much about Replace, so James might need to talk to that. 007, I think I was surprised nobody picked that, so I think that was a good get.
It just
I think we all talked
it's
about
one of those
it. We just
go,
thought, yeah, the
it
view
could go
the,
well or go terribly.
Yeah, and like he's left himself with what 4 spots now. I don't know if I'd be banking on it. Like I think it could be good, but I think there could be a lot of other great games that are coming later in the year. And like my run was late.
Like, chances are there's great games coming out later this year that we don't know exist yet. Like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like he's pretty quick like, on his list.
I admire his tenacity.
He did come last year as well, so I guess he's got some ground to cover and maybe he's just committing to a different strategy this year. Go hard, go early.
Yes.
James, what about Replaced? I think you said at the start of the show that you, or before we started recording, that you're a little envious of that pick.
A little bit, yeah. I don't actually know. I think, like, visually, it's one of those games where I think the vibe and the art is really nice. But I don't know if it's actually going to be a good game. But I think, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we also, it's out in March. Okay, I didn't know that. So,
rather soon, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm suspicious, but I think it could go either way. But I think the art, if you guys look at the trailers for it, looks really good. Mm. So, I kind of get it.
The devs have Replaced. Is this their debut game, or have they done something previously, or like come from past studios? Do you know their story?
Sad Cat Studios is the developer.
Yeah, I was trying to look it up earlier, and I couldn't find what they worked on prior,
Minsk,
if anything.
And I think this is their first game.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's their debut.
Those picking a debut game last year with Claire Obscure did very well out of it, so. That might.
I just don't see this taking the world by storm in that way. But it doesn't need to. It just needs to take the critics by storm. And that could happen. So
yeah. Look at what
I can
do.
See it.
All right. In the week, Nintendo dropped some new information on Tomodachi Life, Living the Dream, in a 20-minute Nintendo Direct dedicated to the life sim slated for an April 16th release. Amongst the news, I should say, Nintendo delivered on their commitment to make the game more inclusive, revealed some of the in-game shops and activities, and showcased the more detailed Mii character creator. Shannon, come back to you firstly on Tomodachi Life, Living the Dream. Did you like what you saw? Is this a game you're excited for?
I remember touching it for a little bit on the 3DS, but it wasn't really my thing. I've never been like a social gamer, but a lot of people seem to love this game, and I think there's a lot of reason to be excited. And like, I think some of the additions, like genders and romance stuff, like go against Nintendo's traditional ways, so I'm glad to see them Yeah, I'll pick it up. I can't see myself getting hugely involved with it just because it's really sort of based on your imagination and creating characters and stuff, which again isn't for me, but there's a lot of hype around this one, so I'm keen to at least check it out.
Yeah, I can see it kind of like being a good source of some memes, like given the kind of different characters you can create, the customizations afforded you there. And just like, I guess the zaniness or like silliness factor of it, like memes themselves just look goofy. I did think it was interesting that they've kind of like restricted some of like the screenshot and sharing functionality sort of on the console in light of the game, which I totally understand the rationale for, but it does seem like such a strength to the game to be able to kind of get the more wholesome stories out there, I guess, but therein lies the conundrum. What about yourself, James? Does this tickle your fancy in any way?
No, I don't think so. I think I might buy it and then see some like stupid shit on the internet and then maybe want to join in. Kind of like Miitomo. I don't know if you guys remember that on the phone.
Did you play the first one at
no,
all?
No, I never did. Did it come out late? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was very late, I think.
But I do think like the big thing with this is people share dumb shit and it goes viral because of how weird it is. And I think that by gimping the sharing, they might be shooting themselves in the foot a little bit there. That being said, I can also see people making like, I don't know, a what's it called, like a Donald Trump me, and then have it marry, I don't know, a Michael Jackson me or something, and like, and then that gets I can definitely see stuff like that happening.
Happen.
The world is a different place now, and the way that you share game screenshots to social media is much easier, which I think it's worth noting. I think you can still take your screenshots off your SD card and upload them.
It's not going to stop anyone.
You
really
just can't share directly to social media, but I think people who want to make a stupid joke or a funny meme are going to do it anyway.
They'll jump through a few hoops to do it.
I'm very interested to see how it turns out once it's out and the floodgates are open and all of this dumb Nintendo brand shit is being, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it could be a PR success for them or like a PR nightmare. So, based on how things went with the original game, I was like around when that happened and was on forums and shit. Like, I can see it happening again, which is like kind of exciting. I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, with this dropping this year and Pokemon Pocopia, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Like, later this year, which is kind of like more of a life simmy style Pokemon game by the looks of things, right? Like, I kind of thought that the time was right for Animal Crossing to come back, but this year suddenly doesn't seem like it would be the right year to put it out when that kind of itch is otherwise being scratched by these games. Like, maybe we don't see the next Animal Crossing game until, I don't know, next year, the year after that.
I do think they're different games, though. Like, I think, like, surface level, yes, they look the same, but I do, like, maybe, and similar audiences, but I still do think they are very different. And Pocopia, I feel there's a lot more to that we don't know about either, which we might find out in the future. You never know. But
I'm sure they'll have to reveal more about the game at some point. That's true. All right, let's change gears and talk about some PlayStation news now then. Shannon, you reported earlier in the week that the frequent leaker Kepler L2 was talking more about PlayStation's upcoming handheld plans, in addition to the PlayStation 6 lineup, including dedicated handheld. It was reported that PlayStation are also contemplating an OLED version of the PlayStation Portal releasing later this year. Firstly, on the OLED PlayStation Portal, I know we were all pretty surprised, I think PlayStation mostly, at just how well the PlayStation Portal sold. Can you see there being an appetite for an OLED version? Is it something you yourself would fancy upgrading to?
To be honest, I don't use my Portal that much. Like, whenever I do charge it up and use it, I'm like, why do I not use this more? But I just think it's another thing to keep charged. Like, that's more the issue for me. Yeah. But I think it makes sense to have an OLED display, and I think it makes sense to have a 120 hertz display, because there was a weird thing where if you put your PS5 in the 120 hertz mode, it'd cause like weird stuttering with the Portal. So I think that makes sense. I mean, if they keep it at a similar price and it's an OLED display, I think it makes sense, and I think it just makes sense for Sony to keep like playing in this space if they've got a handheld coming, for sure.
Yeah, I wondered if this was kind of them testing the waters a little bit. Like, okay, the PlayStation Portal sold well. Let's see if we can kind of sell people on something at a bit more of a premium price
point. Yeah, that's true.
An OLED model is... what is a Portal worth? 300? 350? 330. Okay. I'd have to think like an OLED version is maybe a little bit above that. I don't know. Maybe that is at the same price point, but... Yeah, I think they're continuing to test the waters and just like see just how much interest there is in a device like this before then kind of biting the bullet and going the way of dedicated hardware. But yeah, like you, Shannon, I've not played an awful lot of it recently. I think most of my handheld time has been spent on my Switch in the last kind of 6 months. But prior to that, I was using the Portal more than I bargained for. I was pleased at just like how handy it was. What do you think, James, with regard to like the handheld? Like, it seems to be more likely that that's the case and that it's going to be using kind of AMD, I think the next generation of AMD, so the GPU tech as well. Do you still think that goes ahead regardless, or is it kind of contingent on how well the PlayStation Portal continues to do?
I think the plans have been made. My one and only statement. Like, if it's happening, it's well and truly in the works. I feel like with portable PCs kind of doing as well as they are. And even Switch 2 doing as well as it has with the price point that it has. I think... they are not scared to do something there in that space.
And I think they're keeping a watchful eye on what Xbox are doing as well, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they... I guess that's different, right? It's going to be like the idea is it's one platform. It's not like Vita and PSP where it was a separate ecosystem with separate games. Like, I guess it has
to be that.
Yeah, it has to be like... Yeah, I think it could work in this club. I think that the time is now, really, if they were going to do something. And when I say now, I mean like the next 2 to 3 years, but yeah.
Yeah, I kind of hope it is, I don't know. There's two sides of the coin. Like, one part of me is, it would love for it to kind of be like a lower spec option in the PlayStation 6 lineup. Like, you could dock it, you could play your PS6 games on there. Kind of like the Xbox Series S to the Xbox Series X, right? Like, it's kind of a cheaper option, running games, not at the same resolution or frame rate, but you've got the benefit of going handheld. And then you've got like a more kind of premium dedicated console option as well. But like, I also wouldn't be terribly off put by, say, something like the Steam Deck, where it's not going to run every game necessarily, but they have like some sort of certification program. Like, this PlayStation game is PS6 handheld certified or whatever. Because for me, like, my handheld gaming is kind of concentrated to like more of the indie scene or kind of games that, you know, I probably wouldn't other. I don't know. Games suited to that kind of power device as opposed to something that I would want to sit in my PC and play or get on the console for. So, yeah, I don't quite know how they handle the launch, but either which way they do it, I would be happy for that. I just want it to be the same ecosystem. Like, if it's its own thing with developers working on bespoke games for it, that just doesn't fly this day and age, I don't think. The other little tidbit that came out of this PlayStation hardware news was that they filed a patent with like a like touchscreen face, where you can kind of like customize the layout of buttons and kind of change.
I hate that.
You
can do it on Xbox. I think you could do it on Xbox Mobile already, and it's just, I don't know. I just can't stand touchscreen controls. I need the like.
Me neither.
The tactility of a button.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And haptics and like, just don't do the same.
The force, the feedback of, like, if you hold the button or, like, push a stick, it pushes back a little. Like, I don't know. I'll never understand touch.
It did make me think that maybe this is a more, like, mobile kind of centered kind of controller, and maybe they were going to kind of try and do more in the mobile space as well. Perhaps they're just filing a patent so they have it and can kind of do what they want with it down the line. Who knows? All right, let's talk Grand Theft Auto 6 now. Not getting a physical release at launch, perhaps. This comes away of Polish site PPE.pl, which reported that the physical edition of Grand Theft Auto 6 may not be available at launch, signaling a digital-only release. Shannon, firstly to you, why do you think this might be? Why would it be that they don't have a physical launch at
I would say it's for two reasons. I would say leaks. So nothing can be leaked ahead of time because this game is going to need a lot of copies if it's going to be at physical because there's going to be a lot of people buying them.
And the risk is what? Like someone breaks Street 8 or sneaks it out the back room or like a box falls off the back of a truck or something.
I think
like
we'll actually, yeah, I remember getting, I think, GTA 4 like 3 days early, and I was like one of a few people in the world that had it early. And at that time, Rockstar wasn't really revealing anything ahead of time about their game. So like there was nothing online about the game, and I just don't think they'd want that happening.
So this is like pre-press start days. It just like came to you early in the post.
Luckily for them. Yeah, just me posting on forums. And secondly, I would think it's to give them as much time as humanly possible, right? Like I think there's no secret at this point. And I know you can... but then I think about it and it's like, couldn't there just be nothing on the disc? But maybe they just don't want to go down that path either.
Is that a like legal... Oh, no, it's not.
I don't know.
I mean, if it doesn't... I mean, there are games right now that don't work unless you update them.
That was my thinking.
Like, I had that.
But there might be some markets where like you can't do that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it happens all the time. Like with any game. Yeah. Like every time we review a Nintendo game, like some clown has it already and has like played it and uploaded shit onto the internet like before we can talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
Because they're always going to have like a physical presence. But I don't know. I don't know what the
know.
There's no solution.
Is there a concern at all? Or is it just like...
This is random. But like, I remember...
How would this person know as well? Like, how would anyone know this? Yeah.
Do you remember that Beyonce album dropped on digital services and it came out physically like a month after? Like, and that worked. Like, and nothing leaked that way. Like, I think it is doable. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is.
Do you think it's stealth dropping tomorrow? Is that what you're saying?
No. But what I'm saying is like it like in a situation where like it takes there's like a month between something being produced, shipped, and put into stores. Like it there is obviously points along that production pipeline where a copy can be grabbed by somebody. So the only way to combat that is to push that back. I think. So people have already kind of played it and it's out there. But then I guess by the other stretch, like if somebody reads everything about it the week before, it's not going to impact the sales realistically. Do you know what I mean? Like the surprise, most people will choose to either engage in that or not. And do you know what I'm saying? Like I it doesn't really change anything. Like if GTA 6 leaks a week before launch, does it sell less copies as a result of that? Like, not really. Like, and I think everyone who kind of wants to avoid the surprises will be able to.
And there's not been like story spoilers leaked as of yet, but like we've seen plenty of the game otherwise through various leaks and stuff, right? I think it's a bit of a different story. Like if you don't know a property exists, but we obviously do know this exists, so it getting shipped to stores and box art being printed and posters and like point of sale signage and stuff all happening, like I can't see that being of any issue whatsoever.
And
I just don't know why they didn't have like some sort of software lock on the disc, that unless that's something that they're worried, okay, someone's just gonna find a workaround for this, or they'll like data mine it somehow, or who knows.
I remember like as well, I mean you could also just maybe put something in place and like huge crazy scary threats of like suing people if it gets out. Like I remember when I reviewed 5 years ago for like another site, it was the scariest thing I've ever like read and signed in my life, and I was like scared to even talk about it. Like so like, and that was when they used to ship physical copies out. I feel like if you are maybe, and I feel like Rockstar has like a reputation for being scary in that way, so like I think that could also just do it that way, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. I don't think there is like a good, an elegant solution to the problem. But
do you think it impacts sales at all? Not having a physical edition. Like, no. Everyone goes out and buys this digitally, like, digitally on launch day, the same way that they might if it was in stores.
Shannon, you're muted. Shannon, I think it'll impact sales for, like, retailers, like JB or EB, as like, locally. As an example.
Do you think could have, like, digital vouchers type thing? Because, I think it could affect, like, gift purchases. I don't think it's going to, like, dramatically affect it, but I do think it could be, like, yeah...
You know what they could do? They could do, like, the first month is a code in a box, and then after that is the disc, maybe. Like, you have to wait. And then people will double dip. People will do that to be able to play it early. And then, say, buy another edition with some GDA bucks, shark cards or whatever thrown in, or some shit with a disc. I feel like that could be a thing. Or maybe, like, if Shannon is right and the campaign's coming out earlier, and then they do a disc print with GDA Online's launch, and that comes with, say, a starter pack of shark cards or something later on. Like, I think that could also work, maybe. But I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they handle it. I'm just not having a physical... I mean, maybe it's kind of a bygone era now anyhow, but...
It's just been so, like, long, so it's hard.
There's not... Like, it makes less of an event out of it. Like, if everyone's just at home waiting for midnight to clock over so they can start the download or whatever, like, that's just... it's a bit anticlimactic, you know? Like, I like the idea of there being kind of launch day events and people there at midnight picking up the game or whatever. Like, this is kind of like the biggest release we've maybe had in years and sets itself up nicely for something like that. So, it's a... maybe a bit of a shame in that regard, but it's not to say they won't do anything. Maybe they'll do... I'm planning to go to, like, a Gorillaz listening party in a couple of weeks where, like, you could pre-order an exclusive release of the game at the event. Maybe they'll do something like that. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I hope there's still a big song and dance around this launching, but I'm sure that'll be hard to avoid. For now, though, let's play What the Wiki, the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with the round concluding after someone's bagged themselves 2 points. As last week's winner, James, is in the hosting chair today. He's currently in the lead on 5 points. Shannon, you're just behind on 3 points, and myself, Harry, and Brody are tied on a point apiece. But James, as last week's winner, you are today's host. Take it away when you are ready.
Okay, let's go. Are we listening?
Come on, it's about me. I can't guarantee it's going to make any difference whatsoever, though.
This game is an action-adventure game set in an open-world environment and played from a third-person perspective, structured similarly to games in the Grand Theft Auto series. The core gameplay consists of elements of a third-person shooter and a driving game, affording the player a large environment in which to move around. On foot, the player character is capable of walking, running, swimming, jumping, as well as using weapon, basic hand-to-hand combat. The player can also drive automobiles, boats, planes, helicopters, jet skis, and motorcycles. The combat system was overhauled for this game. The targeting mechanism has been tweaked to intelligently target enemies posing a threat or attacking the player, as opposed to pedestrians. The biggest changes concern the hand-to-hand combat, as the player can perform grappling moves and throws. The player is also able to bribe policemen or hospital staff when wasted or busted to lower their wanted level. In addition to the traditional gameplay elements and side missions of the series, the game features a unique empire-building system in which players must expand their crime syndicate. Yes, Shannon.
Grand Theft Auto, Chinatown Wars.
No, Shannon, sorry. In which players must expand the criminal syndicate from the ground up by taking over businesses from rival organizations and completing missions specific for each of them to increase their income. Like its predecessor, the original version of the game, the originally released version of the game includes a multiplayer mode through a wireless ad hoc network, which allows up to 6 players to engage in different modes. Shannon, you're back after this. Okay. Yes, Ewan.
I'm not sure if... I'm just going to take a punt, though. Is it Saints Row 2?
No, it's not. The game takes place in 1984 within Vice City and forms part of the 3D universe canon of the Grand Theft Auto series. Set 2 years before the events of Vice City, the game setting features several areas that are different from... Yes, Shannon.
Is it Grand Theft Auto Vice City Stories?
It is Vice City Stories. Congratulations.
Thanks, Doll. Well done, Shannon.
That game turns 20 years old this year.
Wow.
Crazy.
It's fucked. Beyond fucked. I remember thinking, like, wow, I can't believe I'm playing a portable GTA game. Who would have thought where we'd be?
Was there meant to be a Vita one, or am I making that up?
Maybe. I think it was meant to be a Vita everything, but they all got cancelled.
Bioshock.
Yeah, Resident Evil. Yeah, and now look at us playing Switch 2s and PCs in our hands.
I don't hate it.
Cool. Are we ready?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this could go either way. Hmm. The game changes the series with multiple new features, such as a new health system where the player regenerates health while not taking fire. The player's vision is greatly impaired while damaged, similar to the health system in other shooters. Furthermore, a third-person view has been included for moments where players can blind fire around corners to lay down suppression or covering fire. Other changes include a larger enemy presence and much tougher artificial intelligence. It's kind of boring. A player can
could be a lot of games.
Now that I'm reading it. Yeah, maybe? Literally. The player can also give voice commands using the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 headset. But teammates can no longer be heard through the headset. In this game, there is no mission planning feature or save system. Instead, the game uses a checkpoint system. The developers also opted to almost entirely exclude cutscenes, telling the story through video feeds on a heads-up display. The player also has various skills, such as the ability to rappel up and down buildings while shooting and the ability to fast rope into an area. Listen carefully now. The game is the fifth main game in the series. It was released in November 2006 for Xbox 360 and December for Windows, and in June 2007 for PS3 and PSP. The game's storyline follows a new team that is dispatched to Las Vegas to defeat international terrorist Irina Morales.
Ewan.
And her... Yes, Ewan.
Is it... I'm not sure I'm going to get these words in the right order. Is it Rainbow Six... Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six 5... Las Vegas? Something? Las Vegas is in there somewhere.
I don't know how to judge this. Shannon, what do you like? What do you think I should do? I feel like you're biased.
Give Shannon one guess, and if his guess is better than mine, then give him the point.
Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six. Vegas.
What is it called?
I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry, Ewan. That was... Shannon got it. So...
he just dropped the loss.
I thought so, no.
You were like, Rainbow Six, Rainbow 5, 6, Las Vegas. That's not the title.
Oh, no. Come on. I was...
Baby.
No, wait. I feel like we need to annul that.
I was going back to, like, correct myself.
Oh.
I didn't think Rainbow Six was in there fucking twice. Are you serious?
It's not in there twice. That's what you said.
I went back and said Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six. Rainbow Six 5 Las
Vegas. I think it's mine. Let me have it.
Nah, I don't reckon. Because I'm annulling that. I fucked up. I shouldn't have even thrown to Shannon. That wasn't... Let's go. Wait, no. Can
Are
we
you
go
getting
back?
Another game?
Ewan,
what
well,
was
wait.
The game actually called?
No, Shannon got it. Like, he got it 100%.
So it you, should be you fine. Ewan, sorry.
Because
like,
Ewan,
how
you
many
said,
times have
Shannon
I got
go.
Like a word wrong?
Nah,
that's the name of the game, baby. Like,
Ewan, did you not say to me, Shannon, give it to Shannon, see if he gets it? Is that
Too
not what
bad,
you said?
So sad.
I said if he could guess better than me, thinking the name was radically different. He just fucking said the same thing.
Oh!
I said.
So it was a miscommunication. I feel.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do. I don't know what to do.
Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas. I said that Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Las Vegas.
You said like Rainbow Six 5 Las Vegas.
Oh, I did say 5. It doesn't have a 5 in there.
It's giving Shani. Sorry.
Okay.
What
Shannon's
do you think,
answer
Ewan?
Was better than mine, but I did walk him to the fucking front door.
You did.
I've never sworn so much in the podcast.
That's the name of the game. We're going. Give Shani a break for once.
I don't know. I hate doing this.
I feel like I got the title. If I didn't get the title spot on, I'd say no, but I literally got the title. What more do you want from me in that situation?
Because Ewan gave you the box. You just built it.
But I did say if Shannon could do a better job, and he just...
Oh.
I didn't think you'd
Let's not pity point it. Like, let's...
I didn't realize how close I was.
Should we give an unprecedented? Should we give Shannon still gets his points and the sweep, and Ewan gets a point?
Sure.
Let's do that.
Okay.
I reckon that's a fair. It's a real fair outcome.
Okay.
Was I on four already? Oh wow.
Does it change your answer, James? If realizing Shannon leapfrogs you there.
No, because throughout the year, he's either not going to be able to come to the show or he won't listen. So it will be on top anyway.
Okay. I do have some trivia prepared for you, James, so you could indeed pick up another point. We're not doing topics, right? I'm just giving you the multiple choice. You're not getting to pick between different topics.
I did topics, but if you're not prepared, that's also fine. So let's go.
I'll let you pick then. Grammys 2024, Grammys 2025, or Grammys 2026.
It's going to be about video games. Is it about video games? Oh, okay. Oh, fuck.
I know the answer. Can I buzz in?
Nope. No. Let's go 2024.
Okay. I'm going to give you the list of nominees for Video Game Soundtrack of the Year, according to the Grammys. And you're going to have to tell me which one won. Are you ready for the nominees?
I am.
List of nominees was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, God of War Ragnarok, Hogwarts Legacy, and Stray Gods, the role-playing musical. Who won?
No idea. I'm gonna go God of War.
God of War Ragnarok, Bear McCreary. Unfortunately, did not win.
Who won?
The winner was Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Won the Grammy.
What the fuck? At least it won something. It had to get something. So I'm glad.
There you go. The winner this year, for those interested, was Sword of the Sea. Won the Grammy this year. So congrats to Austin Wintry for that. But with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's Ewan. Episode. What?
Out of who? Who won? Who was nominated?
Oh, the other nominees? Sorry. Yeah. Other nominees were Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, Helldivers 2, Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, and Star Wars Outlaws, Wildcard and a Pirate's Fortune, which I think was
The DLC for Outlaws got nominated. The
DLC, yeah.
Who's making these nominations? Like, that is shocking. Yeah, what the fuck?
You probably have to submit for it, which I don't know how many people do.
And like, who's out here submitting the DLC for Star Wars out of all the video game EA soundtracks? Whoever you are.
I'd have thought.
Oh, do you reckon?
It's probably quite an expensive thing to do as well, submitting for these awards. I think Ubisoft, that's how it works. That's how it works for artists, isn't it?
Prince of Persia got cancelled, so it could be submitted.
Look, I'm like shocked of all the games. Like, DLC for Star Wars Outlaws.
Move on. It's done. Yeah.
No, it's like really upset me. It's actually ruined my night.
With that, let's bring Ned to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Shannon.
Yeah, you can follow me at Shannon Gorixi.
And also joining us today, it was James.
Yes, I'm on Twitter at James, ATJMZ, and Blue Sky.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. We'll be back again next week. But until then, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.